It's easy to watch Breaking Bad and to assume that we will never be like Walter White. Probably because most of us assume that we could never be like Walter White. If you've seen the TV show, you know that the main character, Walter White, begins the series as a mild-mannered high school chemistry teacher. Resigned to the idea that his life will never achieve the glory he once thought it would, he continues to plod along teaching and with his family until he is diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. With no life insurance, White begins to stress about the financial reality his family will face after his death. But an idea of how he can leave his family as much money as they would need came to him while he was on a ride-along with his DEA agent brother-in-law. He decides that he could provide for them by cooking and selling methamphetamine. Okay, maybe you're right. You would never be like Walter White. And I'd like to think that I wouldn't either. But that's part of why I find the show so compelling. It's easy to believe that we would never do what White does, that we could never become who he becomes. And yet, as the show progresses, the mild-mannered high school chemistry teacher no one imagined could hurt a fly transforms into somebody else entirely. Once White starts making and selling meth, he begins to be confronted with choices he never thought he would have to make. Choices that usually pit his desire to save himself and his family up against what is right. And with every decision that he makes, Walter White finds himself traveling further and further down the dark road of violence, greed, and power, until he is eventually one of the most feared men in town. Breaking Bad is a study in sin, a study that reminds us few people are simply that bad or that evil, at least not right away. Instead, it's usually a progression of choices that lead us down that road, and that anybody is capable of doing the worst. That possibility exists within each of us, the possibility that we might make a poor choice if given the right set of circumstances. We are, even just minutely so, capable of becoming someone like Walter White. That possibility is something that the disciples seem to recognize in today's gospel text. This is the text that we usually hear on Monday, Thursday as we prepare for Easter. It's the night before his crucifixion, and Jesus and the disciples are huddled together around a table as they eat their final meal together. While they're lounging, celebrating the ages-old rite of the Passover, Jesus suddenly breaks the ritual of the meal, bluntly stating, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me." To those of us who know the story, who know that Judas, like Walter White, had already made choices that led him to a point where he will ultimately betray Jesus, this statement doesn't seem too shocking. We already know who it is, that it's Judas and not us. But the rest of the disciples don't know this. Instead, they began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." One after another, "Surely not I." That one little question, betraying their doubt about their own ability to make the right decision, it's a recognition that they know what they are capable of. It didn't matter that they had followed Jesus for 3 years by this point, that they had strived to lead in the way that he had taught them, and that they were his disciples, people who wanted to be just like their rabbi, to be people of love and compassion in a world fraught with honor and shame. None of that mattered. Each was capable, at least on some level, to make the kind of decision that Judas ultimately made. Just like we're capable of becoming like Walter White or like Judas, of betraying Jesus. You may not have made the decision to cook and sell meth and then sell your soul as you begin to succeed in that business, but you have likely, maybe even over just the past week, decided to save yourself above others multiple times. We all do it, and it's because we're all slaves to sin. Left on our own, we will choose our own brokenness every time, mostly because of fear. Fear of not being enough, or maybe of having enough. Fear of loss, or maybe fear of being disconnected. We are slaves to our fear. We are slaves to our sin. Yet Jesus wants to save us. So while the disciples were contemplating their ability to betray Jesus, asking him and themselves, "Surely not I," he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Jesus knows that Judas will betray him. Jesus knows that each of the disciples is capable of doing exactly the same. Yet he feeds them anyway. He does not send them away from the table until they have figured out how to be good disciples. Nor does he refuse to call them disciples at all. Instead, he takes bread, he breaks it, and he gives it to them. He picks up the cup and he offers that as well. And then he does it with a strange twist, offering up not only the bread and the wine that are on the table, but his very self. "Take, this is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." I imagine the disciples understood this was the beginning of a new kind of journey. The Passover meal was the start of the Israelites' release from slavery in Egypt. They were to eat the meal with their loins girded, their sandals on their feet, and their staff in their hand. They were to be ready to go, to move from one reality to another. Jesus chose to celebrate this new kind of Passover on a night when these words would be fresh in the disciples' minds. This meal is to be eaten with the expectation that it is the start of something new, that we are to be ready to go, to move from one reality to another, to be freed from our slavery to sin and to find freedom in God, to become more like the rabbi or the master that we follow, the one we wish to be like. This is the table that we are invited to each time we come together, week after week, returning to the ritual to start again on our journey, ready to go to a new reality, a reality that helps us choose what is good and right for all people, not just ourselves. A reality that gives us the strength to carry on even when things seem bleak. A reality that teaches us that we become what we eat, embodied love for the sake of the world, willing to give ourselves up for even those who would ultimately betray us. You're likely right. You'll never become like Walter White. Because week after week, you come to this table, and week after week, Jesus sets you free.